Very good morning to you. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and I want to thank you for listening to our program this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener each Sunday morning at this time. We also encourage you to visit our website, www.churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. At the end of our broadcast, we'll be giving our service times at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Come and study God's Word with us. We'd love to have you. This morning, we want to begin a two-part study in talking about the mystery of godliness. Many times, one passage of Scripture teaches a very powerful truth. Such is the passage that we will study in the next 2 weeks. Paul, in his first letter to Timothy, gave him many instructions concerning his work as an evangelist. One of those things that he was told to do was to meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. 1 Timothy 4:15. Study of the Scriptures can improve our understanding of the truth contained therein. A study of the entire passage will show a common thread which ties both the Old and New Testament together. The thread, of course, is Jesus Christ. Paul gave a short overview of how this great truth became known to man in 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. We want to read that passage, and that's what we're going to discuss for the next two sessions. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. Let us examine exactly what this verse teaches. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Paul said there was no controversy. That means a dispute, especially a public one, between sides holding opposing views. In other words, the facts are indisputable. They cannot be challenged. What about this word mystery? Does it mean hidden? Does it mean it cannot be understood? No. In the Greek, the meaning of the word is something which was once hidden, but is now revealed. It has been made known. This word many times had to do with Christ coming to the earth to bring salvation to mankind. For a time, that plan was hidden from the knowledge of man. But that plan is no longer hidden. It has been revealed. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 and 26, Paul said the mystery had been hidden for the ages, but is now revealed to the saints. How? By the word of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit. Read 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 13, that tells us the work of the Holy Spirit by revealing the mind of God. We must then conclude that whatever this mystery is about, Jesus Christ is its subject. Paul is going to make it absolutely clear by the next six phrases in how we come to know and realize and can have faith and knowledge of the fact that Jesus Christ has come and for the purpose that he came. We will look at three of these phrases this morning and the next three, Lord willing, next week. The first statement made by Paul concerning the mystery of godliness is that God was manifested in the flesh. This is a clear reference to the fact that deity came to earth, became a man, and dwelt among men. According to John chapter 1, in the Gospel of John, in the first three verses, this fact is laid before all of his readers. John was writing this gospel to give evidence that Jesus indeed was the Son of God, and that all the claims that he made, being God's Son, he was able to validate them, and he was able to substantiate them. In John chapter 1, in the first three verses, it reads, "In the beginning was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. The Word was God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh," John 1 verse 14, "and dwelt among men." In 1 John 1 verse 1, John admitted that he had handled the Word of life. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 through 18, he took on flesh and blood to help us win our victory over sin and death. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, He took our sins to give us redemption. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, He knew no sin. He became sin. He became the punishment. He became the death. He received the condemnation that we deserve by His death on the cross. In John 14, verse 8 through 11, thus God was manifested in the flesh, in human form. Yes, Jesus Christ came in the flesh. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, Paul wrote that He took on the likeness of men, but was God at the same time. This was a wonderful demonstration of the immense love God had for us to send His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible tells us, while we were yet sinners, He demonstrated His love for us, that Christ died for us. Yes, the Son of God left the portals of heaven and came to earth, and He, in the form of flesh, and lived as a man, and also was the Son of God, and was revealed in the flesh. God manifested His Son in the earth. Next, the phrase justified in the Spirit. In the context, the word justify means to be cleared from accusation or charges that might be made against someone. A word that we sometimes use is the word acquitted. Many false charges were made against Him on earth. Just read Matthew 11, verse 19, chapter 12, and verse 24. Yet none of the accusations or charges brought against our Savior were ever proven. None of them. Christ, being purely innocent, was unjustly put to death. In Acts chapter 2, in the first gospel sermon, the Apostle Peter made reference to the innocence of Christ in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse number 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God, by miracles and wonders and signs which God did through Him in your midst, as you also know. You yourself also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death. Yes, He was put to death, but He was innocent. The Holy Spirit cleared Him of every false charge. How? By the following ways. In Matthew 3, verse 16, He descended upon Him at His baptism by John the Baptist. In chapter 12, verse 28, He cast out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit. In John 3, verse 34, Christ was given Spirit without measure. And in Acts 2, verse 22, by the miracles that He performed, He showed that His works were approved by His Father who had sent Him. And last but not least, in Romans 1 and verse 4, He was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection of the dead, that He was indeed the Son of God who He claimed to be. Justified in the Spirit, He has been acquitted. He has been cleared of every false charge that has ever been laid against Him. He was sinless, without sin, and became the redemption price of our sin. Lastly this morning, it says He was seen of angels. Angels were associated with and ministered to Jesus throughout His life upon the earth. Consider the following examples. In Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 20, Before His birth to Mary and Joseph, the explanation of how God was going to use this child that would be born to Mary and what He would do for the sins of His people. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 9 following, His birth is announced to the world by these messengers of God. In Luke 22 verse 43, in the garden before His arrest, after His great prayer, they came to Him to comfort Him before His greatest trial, and that is His death upon the cross. In Matthew 28, verse 1 through 8, they announce His resurrection from the dead after 3 days. And in Acts chapter 1, 9 through 11, the angels told those gathered that He had ascended back to His Father, and the way that they saw Him leave in the cloud to go to His Father, in like manner He would return. These heavenly beings had vested interest in the unfolding of God's plan, the mystery of godliness, in His incarnation, in His life, in His death, and in His burial, and in His resurrection. And finally, His ascension of the only begotten Son of God, according to 1 Peter 1 and verse number 12. You see, The mystery of godliness was demonstrated in three ways that we've examined this morning. In the fact that he was manifested in the flesh. This is a very difficult thing for men to comprehend, that the Son of God came in the form and the fashion of a man. He was both God and man at the same time. Some have referred to this as God-man, and in that way, that's right. He was 100% deity. He was 100% man. He was deity. That makes him God, one in a class of three, with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. God the Son came in the flesh. God made him known. God was made known in us. You remember when Thomas did not believe because he was not with the disciples when Jesus appeared the first time? And remember when he appeared the second time? And he said, Thomas, look at my hands and look at the hole in my side. Be not unbelieving, but believing. And remember what Thomas said? My God, my God. You see, he believed because he saw the evidence. Yet, the evidence was manifested for all to know. And we are told in John chapter 14, when men saw the Son, they saw the essence of God. And he was justified in the Spirit. He was acquitted of every false charge that had been made against him while he was on earth. Continually, the scribes and the Pharisees tried to trap Jesus, tried to show him in violation of the law, tried to show him guilty of sin, but in every turn and every trick they tried, they failed immeasurably and were shown to be the hypocrites that they were. And last, he was seen of angels. As we discussed just a few moments ago, many of the important aspects of his life were announced or were validated by the angels who accompanied him. But he's greater than the angels according to Hebrews chapter 1. That he's worshipped by the angels according to them, to the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 1. He's greater because he is the Son of God. And so the mystery of godliness can clearly be seen in these first three facts. That God manifested him in the flesh, that God justified him in the Spirit, and that he was seen of angels. This heavenly messenger from heaven, this very Son of God, came to earth for a particular reason. And it is no longer a mystery. Why did he come? Why did he live? Why did he die? We know the answer to all three. He came because man needed a remedy to sin. He lived in order that we might have life. He lived to teach and to explain and to prepare his disciples for the work that must be continued following his ascension back to his Father. And lastly, he died because man needed a remedy for sin. He needed a means by wherewith he could be reconciled back to God. You see, sin is separating from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, and he needed to be reconciled. He needed to be justified. He needed to be acquitted. He needed to be made right. And he needed to be sanctified and set apart for the work that God would have him to do while he was here on earth. All of that was made possible by the death of Christ upon the cross. Yet, before that could take place, God had to be manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, and seen of angels, and his work validated by those heavenly messengers. Next week, we will conclude our study of the mystery of godliness by looking at the last three phrases that Paul makes in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. We hope that you will be with us, then we will examine those things next week. Have a good day.